Good morning and shalom. We want to continue to bless the name of Jesus because of his revelation that he keeps giving to us. We've already gone to look at the pieces of the revelation about Jesus Christ and his bride, that God gave Jesus so that he would give to his servants, and he designated this through an angel who he sent to John. And John was supposed to take this message even to the church. Now, here we already looked at the first church, and this was the church of Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus was a very good church. Jesus praised it for the hard work and for the way it could not be give room for the false teachers. But it had one thing that was breaking down, and that was the breakdown of the love. Remember, we had said earlier that the church has Jesus at the center, and every bit of the churches that are called the lampstands connect with Jesus, with the word of life. And every individual church connect with each another by the word of love. And all the churches, the seven of them, which are symbolic to the complete entire church, they connect with the word, I mean the world, with the word of light. So here what was written in the church at Ephesus, or to churches in Ephesus, was the love. They served God more, but they loved God less. It's a mistake for the church to keep serving without love. Paul had said, even if you give everything, you serve, do miracles without love, everything is zero. Now, the second church was the church in Semna. This was the bride of Jesus Christ, Semna. The word Semna means crushed. Crushed means it is a persecuted church. It was the second wave that we see in the church. When the church started to serve God more and love less, the enemy rose up. The beast or the wild animals, this what we call the wolves, they rose against the sheep. They persecuted them. And this is what Jesus told them. This, write this letter to the angel, write this letter to the messenger or to the pastor of the church of the in Selma. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead, but he is alive. You see, Jesus talked, he began by giving himself with a picture of entirety. And this is the message that he would give to a church that is being persecuted. I'm first, I'm last. So that when we feel like we are getting lost in between, we remember he was there before and he'll be there after. We remember that even if some other goons have come in between here, Jesus will finally be the last. So that we are going through persecution, but we are waiting for the last word. It is very important for those who are going through suffering because of Jesus to know that Jesus was there before and they are being persecuted because of Jesus. And he is there. He is the first. And who is the last? He will give the final word. We know the finality, because the last will speak. Then he says that he was dead, but now he's alive, telling them that he also gone through persecution, but he has been able to defeat. So if he died through persecution, because he was persecuted, and he overcame persecution by resurrection, they will still be resurrected. That was a good message. Then he started by, then he told them, I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you have, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who are opposing you. So he talked about, I know you are suffering. It will be, it is very sweet for the bride, for the bridegroom to tell the bride, I know you're suffering. You're suffering my suffering. But on the other hand, you're also poor, or the poverty that you have. So this church had two qualities. They were suffering because of Jesus, but they did not have much. They were poor. But then he told them, you are rich because you have me. Then he also told them, I know the blasphemy of those who are opposing you. Blasphemy is that those who were already had infiltrated their ranks into the church, and they had, you know, and they looked like the church, but they were not. They were blaspheming Jesus, and they were opposing. And they said, Jesus said, I know them. So they, so he says, they say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue of because the synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw you, some of you, in prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Now, I want you to see that Jesus is talking, telling them about persecution. And he's saying there's coming 10 waves of hostility. They're there. He's calling them 10 days. He says you'll be thrown in prison. This is the kind, this is the form of persecution. And he talked about is the devil who will be able to do this. So even if the devil is going to use the agents, Jesus did not talk about the agents. No, Jesus talked about the source of suffering, which is the devil. But then he talked about you suffer for 10 days. Those 10 days will be forms of waves, and the agents of suffering, agents of Satan, will come in 10 waves, one increasing with another one, and they'll be put in prison. But Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Remain faithful. You, even if it means death, because Jesus will give you a crown of life. And then he says, if anyone has ears to hear, must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. So Jesus still is talking about death, and he give in about the second death. He said, you might suffer the first death, which is the physical one, but you'll not suffer the second death. Then he went to the church at Pergamum. Pergamum means marriage, literally marriage. This is where you have got what we call syncretic church, the church that is married thoroughly with the world. Pergamum is where now the spirit of Rome changed tact. The emperor, who was the source of persecution, or the main agent of persecution, changed. He discovered that the church could not change. So he changed. And he said he has already been converted. This was very bad. And therefore, the state was married to the church, and the church was married to the state. There's no distinction. It's not a good thing for the church and the state to be together in terms of marriage. Yes, they coexist, but that marriage that you cannot tell the difference is bad. So when they did that, this is where they were able to introduce a lot of paganism, wild paganism in the church. I know some of the church states today in this world who pay pastors, and pastors cannot be able to talk about the evils that are happening in the world because their mouth have been given something. So in this one, Jesus write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one who with the sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne. He says there that this church was living where Satan has his throne, yet you have remained loyal to me. So there are some people who have been very loyal to Jesus Christ, even in Pergamum. I wanted to know that in all those cities, in all those churches, there are those who remain faithful to Jesus. There's a remnant. You refuse to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. Now, there was a man, a faithful brother called Antipas, who was martyred because he refused to recant Jesus. This was a person, but could also represent how many people were killed because they refused to deny or recant Jesus Christ. So there was one person called Antipas, and the church looked at him. He was a great man of God, and he refused, and he was killed and martyred before. But even with that, the rest of the people, of the church members, remain loyal to Jesus Christ. He said Satan had his throne in this Pergamum. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Barak how to stripe up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. Now, Jesus is speaking to his bride here, and he's saying, "This among you who tolerate the teaching of Balaam." Now, the teaching of Balaam was a prophet, and was a false prophet, but he ministered during these days. He was hired by Barak, that's the first mystic, and when he came to the people of God, or to Balak, Barak wanted him to curse the Israelites, but Balaam was not able to do that. He tried, but he was not able to do that. And so what he did is that he taught the people of God on how to commit sin. Very bad person. He only knew that God could be separated with his children when they commit sin, because God could not tolerate sin. But as long as God's people were well, persecution could not curse them. They could not be, curse means to be separated from the source. They could not be separated from the source. But once they commit sin, so he taught them how to do that. And how did he do that? He taught them that if Barak can start and bring out best of the girls, prostitutes, and then they start to entice Jewish men, then that would be, and that's how they were defeated. Because when they started those kind of festivals of like the one that are happening today in most of the places, so they were eating and drinking, this about offering food to idols and committing sexual sin. And with that one, God was able to release them, and many of them died that way. So there are people who had in this city or in this church held to that teaching. It was a bad teaching. Then he says in a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. So he say, repent of your sins and I will come. Repent of your sins, all I'll come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone with the ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Anyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. And I'll give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. So finally, what we are talking about is that there were also some who held the teaching of the Nicolaitans. We do not exactly know who the Nicolaitans are. The only thing we know is that Nicholas was probably one of the first deacons who are chosen, and probably the name Nicolaitans also means separated. Maybe some of those who felt that they could not be able to join with the church again, those of who were set apart, and some of them felt that they were super believers. But Nicolaitans in other areas is also called people who were taking the grace of God in vain. But we do not really know who the Nicolaitans were. But there are some of them who thought of the same. So may we trust God that we will not be able to mix with the world or to get married with the world. Father God, we pray that you give us the grace not to mix or to get married to the world, and help us to be separated, because that's who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.